I'm excited for the word tonight, and I know that Pastor's getting well time needed away, especially with what's going on right now, and I hope that everybody makes time Friday night to be there for Sister Bonnie and makes time for Saturday to be there as well for the family. Amen. Amen. If you'd open your Bibles up to Philemon chapter 1 and verse 1. I want to preach tonight accepting the sale. Accepting the sale. I don't know why that was like that. Amen. It states Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and a fellow laborer. I don't want to go far into that scripture. I just want to grab one thing from it. Paul says when he's writing this letter, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You can be seated. Paul didn't sit here and write that I'm Jesus's favorite. He didn't write down that I'm the chosen one and I get to write letters and anything like that. But no, Paul writes in this letter, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, you would think reading this, it would be a negative connotation. You'd read it and think, why is he claiming to be a prisoner of Jesus? Wouldn't that be cult-like? Wouldn't that be something negative to say about Jesus? I'm here to preach to you tonight that it's the opposite. It's actually a positive. It is not a connotation of Jesus, being a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But it's actually for God's glory, for one, and for two, it's for your own safety. Paul writes this so perfectly, stating that I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're one of those independent people who are very independent, you're probably not going to like this message. You're probably not going to like thinking, having to switch your mindset from a fleshly mindset of, well, I do my own thing and I do my own ways and I don't need anything to step into my circumstance or step into what I got going on, and I'm perfectly fine the way that I am. But I want to help you tonight that it's time for us to start accepting the sale. Well, that sounds negative, Brother Jerome. I know it does. I know what it sounds like. But I hope by the end of the night I can convince you that it's actually worth living on this side of the cell. Such as the apostles have, all of them in their letters were writing, I am a servant. I am a prisoner. They're all writing these things. They're not saying, I am apostle so-and-so. They're not stating any title above their name. They're not saying, I'm Mr. Evangelist so-and-so. Nice to meet you. My hair is slicked the right way, and I got the nice Armani suit on, and I'm the guy preaching tonight. That's not what they're saying. They instead show humbleness and show servitude. So I can gladly and proudly say tonight, I am a prisoner of the Lord. And I hope by the end of the night you say the same thing as well. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 says, enter in ye all the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Does anybody know this scripture? You've probably heard this one in Sunday school. The Sunday school teacher probably scared you when you were a little kid, thinking, oh, wow, I'm going to go to hell if I keep following all these other people, and I gotta stay, keep my head up and keep walking straight. I taught it once in Sunday school. I made all the kids line up in a line real tight and told them, don't step off. You got to keep walking straight. Follow this right here. And you know, the kids, they'll step off and be funny and all that. And I'm like, oh, don't want to do that. What am I saying? Wide is the way to destruction. Narrow is the way. Narrow is the way, as the Bible says. I'll read it to you. And many there be which go in and thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and a few be there that find it. I don't know about you, but I want to be the few that find it. I want to be the few that said, you know what? I may not have gotten everything right in my life. I may not have made all the money in the world. I may not have had the beautiful house or all these things of this world, but I made it to the streets of gold, and I get to praise God for eternity. The sale is worth it. Anybody remember gutter guards in bowling? Anybody ever still go up there and think about, you know what? I could just pay for this and have a great time bowling today and never see any of these gutter balls. I think about it every time. I could go. I'm a grown adult. I could go with grown men and still think, hey, guys, should we pay for the gutters? At least we can make it competitive. Because you always have that one friend who is the bowling champ. The high school bowling champ. He shows up with his duffel bag with his own bowling ball. He's got his own shoes on it with cursive lettering on the back. His highest score game he's ever done. And you're just, you hate that guy. But he's always good. And you always are horrible. And he makes you feel really bad until you pay for the gutter guards. Now I'm keeping score. Brother Matthew, now I can keep up with Brother Keith when we bowl. It's funny, but it's the truth. In this walk with God, the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. There are going to be bad days. There are going to be hard seasons. There's going to be hard times in your life. But the difference between you and the world is you have somebody with gutter guards around your life. They do not. So when they're walking around lost and wondering where to find this fulfillment, where to find this love, where to find this missing piece that's in them, they don't know where to look, but at least we have what we need. We have gutter guards. I like to call them Jesus guards. We have gutter guards in our life, and I'm so thankful that I live on this side of the cell. Because if I were to live on the other side of the cell, I would probably be in an actual prison cell. The lifestyle I was living, the things that I was surrounding myself with, the friends, the family, all of the things that I was surrounding myself with were not of God. I can be honest with you. They were all of things of this world, successes of this world. Things that I could step out of my own skin and sit down and be able to breathe of this world. You know, the things that God tells us not to partake of, not to go into, not to be a part of, to be separate from. These gutter guards help us. The gutter guards, you could also say, is the Holy Ghost. How many of us have ever been on the highway, somebody cuts you off, and immediately your blood starts to boil, and you the first words are not, Jesus loved them. the first words are not, oh, bless his heart. He's probably got somewhere more important to be. He's more important than my life. Yeah, it's okay. No, I bet the first words probably start with an F. They probably start with any other thing that has nothing to do with God, right? It's in our flesh to do so. It's in our flesh to want to get revenge. It's in our flesh to want to retaliate. I don't know why, but my iPad keeps shutting off on me. So it's the devil is a liar. Amen. You see, when we accept the cell of Christ, I wrote this down today. When we accept the cell of Christ and we kill our flesh, it's like living with gutter guards in our life. Not saying that there won't be any bad or be any bad seasons, but what I'm saying is, as a true child of God, when we go through those seasons, we know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. You see, when you're in the world and you're living in the world and you're partaking of the world and you're partaking of their mindset and partaking of their ideologies and partaking of all these things, you find yourself thinking there is no possible way out of this season. There's no possible way out of this situation. There's no way that I can be healed. There's no way that I can step out of this depression. There's no way that I can step out of these suicidal thoughts. I've been there. When you're in the world, it feels as if you just keep reusing other stuff to try to fix that over and over and over and over and over again. But when we accept the cell, like Paul did, like all the apostles did, when we accept that cell and say, you know what, despite what my flesh wants, despite what my desires are, despite what I want, I'm going to follow after Christ. It's a whole lot different. This life is a whole lot different. There's a reason why people will ask you and they are astonished and they wonder, how could it possibly be so when you're going through a season and you're dealing with illness in your body, but somehow you still have joy in your spirit? When you're dealing with divorce or you're dealing with pain, you're dealing with agony, you're dealing with anguish, you're dealing with all of these things, yet somehow you still find a way to smile and to be nice, to be kind, to do long suffering, all these fruits of the Spirit, somehow you still find a way. And people will look at you and wonder, how? How is it possible? How can one go through a season like this and make it through? How could you possibly have faith that God is going to carry you through? It's because I've chosen this side of the cell. It's because when I read the Bible and I seen that it said that he'd rather me either hot or cold and not lukewarm, I had to make up in my mind that day, which one am I going to be? Am I going to be the one that's sitting in the middle saying, you know what, I'll be on the Jesus side today, and then tomorrow I'm going to go back to the fleshly side tomorrow, and then back and forth. I don't know about you, but you probably wouldn't wish that upon your own relationship. You probably wouldn't look at your wife or look at your husband or your boyfriend or girlfriend, fiance, whatever it is. You probably wouldn't look at them and go, you know what, you could be over there with that person today. And then at the end of the day, come on back over to my house. I'll have a hot cooked meal. The dishes will be done. The living room will be vacuumed. It'll be nice and pretty for you. Probably not. Amen. 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 Thank you. We wouldn't do that in our own earthly relationships. So there's no reason why we should do that in our spiritual relationship with God. There's no reason why there should be another thing that takes over God in your life. There's no reason why there should be things that we look to first before we ever look to God. There's no reason why I should look to a doctor before I look to God. Listen, I'm not preaching against doctors. What I'm saying is I either have faith in Jesus or I don't. I'm choosing this side of the cell. The reason why I'm choosing this side of the cell is because I understand that Jesus is sufficient for me. Colossians chapter 1 and 16 through 17, it says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, or all were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The Bible also says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know preachers will preach it and people get behind it, but I wonder if we could actually believe that statement, that the same Jesus that carried the Israelites through captivity is the same Jesus that can pull you out of your depression. The same Jesus that split the Red Sea and let the Israelites walk through is that same Jesus that can heal your body of whatever ailment is dealing with, that you're dealing with in your body. That same problem in your relationship, that same problem that's going on in your family, that's the same God that can heal that. The world's going to look at you and call you weird. And men, they're going to look at you and call you weak. They're going to look at you and call you weak because you choose to serve a God. Because you're not a God of your God to yourself. This world preaches that men need to be gods to themselves. Big bad guys. Big burly dudes. Don't get me wrong. I love going to the gym. I love it. It's something that I genuinely love. But no amount of muscle on my body is ever, ever going to carry me through what Jesus carried me through. No amount of weight that I could lift off my chest is ever going to equate to what Jesus has already done in my life. But can I tell you, I'd rather be a fool to the world and wise in Jesus' eyes. I'd rather be looking dopey, looking weird, and when I'm in here praising and jumping and shouting, my hair's going all over the place, and the new person that's sitting there thinking, wow, what is going on in his life? You know what's going on in my life? I'm thanking God I have another day. I'm thanking God I got breath in my lungs to get it right just one more time. We are truly in a season where we are in the last days, and it's going to come down to you saying, I accept this cell. It's going to come down to, I either accept Jesus and his ways and follow after what he needs me to do in this life right now, or I'm going to go the opposite way. There will be no in between when that day comes. When Jesus parts the skies, there will be no in between. There will be no more, oh, one more chance tomorrow morning when I wake up. There will be nothing else after that but the people that followed Christ and the people that didn't. And for us, We need to make up our mind. It needs to be us saying, you know what, I accept this hell. Though the world looks like it's having fun, it looks like they're having all the fun in the world, and it seems like I'm living in all these rules and regulations, and I'm carrying myself separate and different, and I'm getting made fun of and all this stuff. All that junk is just temporal. Because can I tell you, Jesus is going to prepare a place for you and me. You and me will be able to walk those pearly gates with Jesus. I don't have to worry about what this world's going to be like or what they get to do, where they get to go, how they get to live, all of the sin that they're living in. I don't have to worry about that, because when I'm done with this life and I get to enter into the kingdom of heaven, I get to live an eternal life with Jesus. Don't mistake what the world is doing as freedom. Don't mistake it as freedom. One thing I wrote down here, and I'll try to get it out as best as I can, because oftentimes when I write something down, I can't read it while I'm preaching. The world looks like they're having all the fun in the world. They have freedom. Brother Matthew, they can do whatever they want to do. When they wake up in the morning, they can do whatever they want to do. Can I tell you, that's a lie? It's a lie. Because when they're living in the world, they have already chosen their cell. They've chosen the cell of the world. And whether you like it or not, there are some dark cells when you live in the world. Depending on what you're doing, where you're going, who you're hanging out with, what you're partaking of. I'm being very general for a reason, but the purpose of the message is today is that we need to make up in our mind, I don't care what the world is doing. I don't care how much fun it looks like they're having, how many friends they have, how many likes they get on social media, what kind of following they have. I don't care about any of that. I don't care about what car they drive. I don't care about what house they have. God bless them. I'm so thankful that they are blessed, but I want to be in the will of God and nothing less. I want to be in the will of God and nothing less, nothing more. Because can I tell you, Brother Tim, there's nothing more than being in the will of God. Nothing more. We must make up in our mind, whether it's today, whether it's tonight when we have an altar call, whether it's when you get home and you decide, you know what, I'm going to get rid of this. I'm gonna get rid of that, because there's some things hindering God from being in my home. There's some things that I have made gods in my home that I need to get rid of so I can allow God to be in my home. Don't think that I'm preaching that God can't be in your home. That's not what I'm saying. But what the Bible does say is that God is so good that he does not delight with evil. God does not delight with evil. He doesn't mix. There is no good and evil mixing. It's like oil and water. So I must make up in my mind, I got to change something in my home. I got to change something in my life. I got to change something with what I'm doing in my life to make sure that I understand that I'm in the cell with Jesus. Because when I'm in the cell with Jesus, there's life. There is true freedom. There is structure, because living in the world, there is no structure. It's fend for yourself. Figure it out. When you're going through deep, dark depression, you might have that one or two friends that'll call you up, but they always have a solution. And their solution is nothing more than let's go do this. Let's go do this dumb thing. Let's go do this. Let's go trash our life. Let's go spend all this money and go on vacation when we can't afford it. Let's just do this. Let's just do that. Let's just do this. And where does it lead us? It leads us in that dark cell, all by ourselves, falling more apart than we were before. You see, when I choose to live this lifestyle, I'm not choosing it because I have a bunch of friends and family that go to the same church. No, that's great, and that's dandy. I love being able to come to church on Sunday morning and see family and friends and see them praise the Lord and see them give everything to God and do God's will in their life. That's great. But I want to make sure that I'm doing God's will in my life. I want to make sure with every fiber in my being that I can say, God, am I doing what you need me to be, doing what you need me to do? Am I at where you need me to be at? Am I stepping where you said to step? Am I turning around where you told me to turn around? Am I talking to this person when you tell me to talk to them? Because when I'm in the cell with Jesus, it's like I have arms wrapped around me telling me, son, I'm here with you. I don't know what, I know what you're going through. I know how you feel, but I want you to understand that I am still here with you. I don't know who needs to hear it tonight, and it probably has nothing to do with my message, but God has not forsaken you. God has not given up on you. God hasn't turned his face from you. God hasn't said, you know what? You're too bad. There's no way I could ever look at you again. That's not the God I serve. The God I serve has his arms wide open for the prodigal son to come back home. That's the God I serve. The God I serve said, when you reach out and you call upon my name, there will I be. He's as close as the mention of his name. When we truly accept the cell of Christ and we humble ourselves, that's the hardest part, is humbling ourselves. Though it might be God, though it might be trying to build a relationship with God, humbling ourselves has got to be the hardest part for Christians. Because it's very easy to be a seasoned saint and put your nose up in the air when you see somebody that's hurting. It's very easy to keep walking with your chest up high. I'm a child of God. Brother Matthew, I don't know what you're going through, but I don't care. Because I am holy and I have my life together and I pray every day and I read my Bible and I'm licensed minister so-and-so. We can't fall down this rabbit hole of being so caught up on titles, so caught up on who am I? I got the mic tonight, Brother Matthew. Who am I? I am but nothing. And I want you to understand something. Just because I have the mic in my hand, I want to be completely transparent with you. I am but ashes and dust to my own mind. When pastor asks me to preach, I don't get all like, oh, I get to preach. Oh, I get my opportunity. Get to make a name for myself. No, I'm sweating. I got literal lines of sweat dripping down my back right now. When I get home, they have to immediately go in the dryer and then in the washer, because my washer ain't gonna be able to keep up. I am genuinely nervous almost every time I come to the pulpit. Even when God gives me a word and says, "This is what you're speaking tonight," as he did tonight with this word, I am genuinely standing up here nervous. I'm type A. I'm the type that will literally talk to anybody about anything. Let's talk about M&Ms when they first created them. Let's talk about the Cowboys. I'll talk about knitting if I have to. I will talk about kittens to make a friend. But it's something about when you come up here and you realize I have to accept the cell. I have to. There's no more waking up and going, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll procrastinate this walk with God. I'll procrastinate this relationship. God knows my heart. I had so many friends tell me that in high school. People that I asked, can I teach you a Bible study? Oh, God knows my heart. He sure does. That's why I'm trying to teach a Bible study. Because God has had you on my heart for the last 2 months. I put a question in here, and I'm going to ask it. Are you ready to say that I am a prisoner of Christ? Are you willing to even say that in the midst of the world that you stand in? The people you work around, the family that you know doesn't believe in God, couldn't stand you talking about God at Thanksgiving, can't stand it at Christmas. The only thing they want to talk about is how much dessert we're having and if we're having turkey or chicken on Christmas. The second you say, hey, can I pray? They're like, oh, Mrs. Holy over here. Mr. Holier than thou. I love what Pastor said. The next person that asked me, oh, Mr. Holier than thou. Yes. Yes, I am. I'm going to say that. Why? Because Pastor said so. But at the end of the day, I have to be so confident that my God is going to carry me through. And the only way I know that is when I finally close the prison door and I put the lock on it and I throw the key. No more control. No more being able to unlock the prison door, open it back up and step out and go into a different prison door. No more being able to say, you know what, this walk with God's getting hard, Brother Kenny. I've been praying, but I ain't heard nothing from God. I've been seeking God for this, and I ain't heard nothing yet. So you know what? I'm going to take the key. I'm going to unlock this. You know what? You guys have fun over there, and I'm going to come back over here where I was before. There's no more of that. When I take final control and say, you know what? When I take all control and I finally go, here it is, God. There's the key. I'm staying here. I'm trying to draw a picture for you to make it so serious that you can understand it. When Paul wrote this, he wasn't just writing down some word there. He didn't just write down prisoner and just go, oh, that has a cool tune to it. That's very poetic of you. I doubt the apostles were sitting next to him going, man, that's what you wrote in your book? Man, I'm a right servant. I don't want to be a prisoner. No, when Paul was writing that, he was writing what he felt. That's what he felt. I am a prisoner of Christ. I am so locked in that I have closed the gate of everything else in this world from my life and said, you know what? I'm only going to go where God tells me to go. This cell right here is where I'm gonna stay. And when Jesus comes back, he's gonna open up this cell and he's gonna take me with him. Paul had made up his mind. And I wonder if there's people tonight that would say, you know what? I know that I've been going back and forth, and I know that I've been thinking about it, and I've been having doubt, and I've been holding on to this key for dear life, because the last time I gave up control, somebody hurt me. Or the last time I gave up control, this person took advantage of me. Can I tell you, God is not going to be that person that took advantage of you. God is not that person. God's love is so much more than what you've ever felt in your entire life. And there are people in this place, and I know what I felt when I prayed. I know what I felt when I prayed and God put it on my heart. There are people in here that are holding on to the key so tight that you have the key in your hand, and it's starting to make edges in your hand because you're holding on to it so tight. Saying, God, I would give you this key, and I am in the cell today, but this key is my only little bit of freedom that I have left. This key is the only thing that's holding me together, God, and I don't know. The last person I gave this to, they hurt me, and when I gave it to my parents, they hurt me, and when I gave it to that relationship, they hurt me, and when I gave it to that pastor, they hurt me, and when I gave it to this and gave it to that, it hurt me. I don't want to give it up anymore. Can I tell you tonight, though it sounds heavy, it's time to give the key up. It's time to close the door and say, God, your will be done, not mine. God, I decrease as you increase. God, I don't want the key anymore. You can have it. And when that devil starts talking to me again, I'm going to say, God has the key. Go get it from him. Because if you think God's going to give the devil the key to come open up your cell, he's not. Can you stand with me? Life outside the cell looks enticing. It does. If we could be honest, saints of God, it looks enticing when we see people of the world living the way that they're living. And there's some seasons that we go through where we're dealing with doubt, or the devil is doing nothing but yapping in your ear. That was for all the young people. They've been calling me a certified yapper forever. But when the devil comes yapping and you already gave the key up, he has no power. You don't even have power. You gave that power to God. Yes, he instills you with power with the Holy Ghost. That's not what I'm talking about. Totally different. What I'm saying is you're no longer saying, I'm going to allow my flesh to dictate whether I'm stepping out of this cell or going back in and out, in and out, in and out, like a revolving door. Like, anybody else get yelled at by their mom when you kept opening up the door? I know I did. I opened up the door so many times one day, my mom whooped me for every time I opened up the door. You'd have thought I learned my lesson, but the very next day I was going in and out, in and out, in and out. She said, you do it one more time, you're going to be paying these bills. Well, I started lawn mowing business and I started paying the bills. Then she goes, oh, you're paying the bills. Oh, no, 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 no. You're still going to get your butt whooped. Don't matter how big you are, I always beat you. Does she not still say that today? My mom still thinks she can whoop my butt. I let her believe that. Amen. But there has to come a time in our life where we say, you know what? This key is no longer mine. I don't have to worry about ever having to use that key again because God is so good. Some people need a moment, a momentary moment in their life where God moves so crazy in their life to them for them to actually believe. And some people just need something real small to happen. All God would have to do is, oh, if you're real, parts the sky. Oh, yeah, he's real. Bird flies by. Yep, that's God. Yep, he's real. Some people are very easy to commit, and other people will go, last time I committed, it hurt. Last time I gave my heart to this, it hurt. Last time I fully sold out to something, somebody in the church hurt me. Can I tell you, church hurt will never stop. It will never stop. You're dealing with a bunch of different people coming from a bunch of different countries. I mean, realistically, I'm a melting pot of a different ethnicities. A bunch of different backgrounds. A bunch of different testimonies. All trying to come into one place and praise God. You don't think that there's going to be conflict? There's going to be conflict. But it matters on how we control that. How we answer to that. And how we answer to it. The answer's right here. It's always been here. It's been at our fingertips our whole life. So rather than holding on to this key, let's hold on to this. Because when Paul and Silas were in the prison cell, they didn't have this. They didn't have the physical Bible in their hand. No. No, they had it up here. They had it in here. And instead of just hanging there thinking, and when we prayed, that was powerful. If you missed that midnight prayer, that was powerful. And pastor breaking down all of that, powerful. Changed my whole mindset on that whole story. But when they're sitting there with their arms up, shackled, they ain't got nothing else they could do, Brother Brandon. They ain't got no keys to open up the door. They don't have no keys to just loosen these just a little bit. I don't know if you've ever been in handcuffs. I've only been in them one time. One time. But when the cop put the handcuffs on my wrist, it felt like I was done, locked up, gone. I started crying, bawling my eyes out. Oh, my goodness, my mom's going to kill me. And I remember all the fear I felt. Somehow, Paul and Silas, they didn't feel fear in that moment. Why? Well, when I had the shackles on, I wasn't serving God. When they had the shackles on, they were serving God. They were preaching the word. They were teaching people about the Holy Ghost and how to be baptized in Jesus' name. They already had studied up and they already had prayed up. And they're sitting there, you know what? Let's just sing some songs to Jesus. They had already given up that key a long time ago. Some of these guys were just fishing and Jesus said, hey, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And they dropped them nets quick. It said they dropped them in straightway. I don't know how much faster you could do that. They made their mind up like that. Some will tonight. Some will make their mind up and say, you know what? I know that I've been serving God my whole life, but tonight I'm going to say it again. God, I want to let you know I'm not moving from this cell. Some tonight would say, you know what? I've been going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. But you know what? Brother Jerome made a good case tonight. I need to drop this key off at the altar and never pick it up again. Because it's about time that the church starts seeing revival here in Jefferson. It's about time that we start seeing revival here in Ohio, Northeast Ohio. It's about time that we start seeing more baptisms. We start seeing more people being filled with the Holy Ghost. More homes changed for eternity. Amen. Does anybody else want to just have everyday church and not have any other of these seats that are emptied filled? I don't know about you, but I want to be able to walk in here and go, wow, last year, these seats had, we probably had like 50 seats. This year, we maybe have one or two. It's time to start building. It's time to start building. I wonder if we could get that faith again where we go, you know what? We can win our area. We can win our schools. We can win our coworkers. We can win those family members that said, you know what? If I walked in there, the church would burn down. Hey, I said that same thing. The church is still standing today. I wonder if we could step out of our seats today and come to this altar all in one mind and one accord. Whether you're a saint of God that's been in church your whole life, whether you're somebody that's just going, this is my first night here. I've never, ever experienced anything like this. Still, step out in your seat, because I'm telling you, when God moves in this place, it's a feeling like I've never felt before. There was nothing of this world that I could ever, ever be a part of, no team, no drug, no alcohol, nothing that I could ever get my hands on ever felt like the day that Jesus filled me with the Holy Ghost. Nothing in this world ever felt like that cold water wiping off my face when I came back up out of that watery grave in Jesus' name. There was nothing. There's still nothing to this day. I wonder if we could lift our hands and we could pray. God, we come before you. I'm so thankful, Lord, God, that I could be a vessel for you tonight. But I pray, Lord, if I didn't do an adequate job, Lord, that you would preach to them right now into their spirit. God, begin to speak to them. Lord, there were those tonight that might have felt a tug on their heart or a tug in their spirit. I pray if they've come to this altar today, Lord, that they would set that key to that prison cell down and say, no, Lord, I will consecrate myself to you again. Lord, I don't want to go back and forth between the things of this world and things of your kingdom. God, I don't want to keep going back and forth and getting confused about more of you and getting confused about myself. God, I don't want to deal with doubt anymore. Come on, lift your voice just a little bit. I know this is kind of different because we don't have any music playing, but we don't need music playing right now. We just need to lift our voice and reach out and touch God right now. God, I pray right now over those that feel like they're on the fence and don't know how to give up that key. I pray, Lord, that you would touch them right now with that same love, God, that you touched me. God, those that have feel like they've already consecrated their life, I pray, Lord, that you would remind them of that day and keep reminding them every day. Every day they wake up, I pray, Lord, you would let that replay in their mind of the day that they chose to follow after you and not anything of this world.
Come on, as they prepare to sing, let's just continue to lift up our hands and get a hold of heaven. Just welcome the Spirit of the Lord in this place right now. Hallelujah, Jesus, Lord. Your vessel has come into this place, Lord. God, and has preached the word. And God, I ask that every heart and every mind, Lord, God, that has gathered into this place and that has tuned in online, God, became and received it, Lord, as they needed to hear it tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. God, you are more than glorious, God, more than worthy of our praises, Lord. But God, it's time for us, Lord, to give the key up, Lord, to surrender our life to you, Lord. God, as we're entering into the end times, Lord, God, it's time for us to stop playing around, God, and get serious with you. God, if there's sin in our life, God, we need to give it up. God, we need to give it to you, Lord. God, we just ask that your spirit, Lord, just reigns in this place right now. Hallelujah. Lord, begin to speak and minister to your people right now. Hallelujah. Lord, no matter what it is, Lord, that your people have done this week, Lord, no matter what sins they've committed, Lord, God, you can tell them, God, right now in this service, in this altar call, God, that it's time, God, for them to give it all up to you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power and there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army and there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army. And I hear those chains falling. feel those chains falling. I feel those chains falling. I feel those chains falling. There's no mountain too tall for you, no valley too low for you, no sickness too strong for you. You're bigger, there's no mountain too tall for you, no valley that's too low for you, no sickness too strong for you. You're bigger, there's no mountain that's too tall for you, no valley that's too low for you, no sickness that's too strong for you.
Message Brother Jerome brought to us tonight was a very personal message. There's nobody in this room that could close the door and lock you in but yourself. It's going to be difficult to commit yourself to the Lord, but it is all worth it in the very end. So I challenge you that as you leave this place tonight, that you take this message home and you ponder it for a couple days, and you truly ask God, Lord, what is it that I can surrender to you so I can truly be a prisoner unto you, Lord. Amen. If you lift your hands, we're going to pray one more time and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. God, we are so thankful, Lord, for the word that we heard here tonight. God, I ask, Lord, that it doesn't fall on deaf ears this evening, but God, each and every one of us can take it to heart, Lord. And God, as we leave this place, Lord, God, it leaves with us, Lord, and we can take it home. God, we can bring it to the prayer room, Lord, and truly seek, Lord, what we can give unto you, Lord, how we can surrender ourselves to you, Lord. God, if we've already done, Lord, God, whatever we think we've done, Lord, God, I ask, Lord, that you can just speak to us, Lord, and you can reveal things that we can surrender unto you, Lord, so we can truly, truly be prisoners of you, Lord. God, for in the end, Lord, all we want to do is be with you, Jesus, and be in the will of God, Lord. God, I ask that you continue to lay your hand of protection over every single one of us as we leave this place, Lord. God, and let your glory be shown, God, not only in this place, but in every home, God, with the spirit of unity. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. There are others that are still praying, so let's be mindful of that and let them pray.